We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
All right, special episode of the Corner Podcast.
Fuck that, Conor McGregor. What just happened?
Fuck the intro. That actually just happened.
Yo, listen, our intro on this show is longer than that whole fight.
Yeah, it's over. It's over twice now. Three times.
Yeah. Conor, first off, you ain't pick him.
No, I didn't pick him.
So this is a goddamn it Andreas moment, if there is any. For the first time,
listen,
I'm right.
This is a goddamn it moment for anyone who picked Conor, because even someone who picked Conor did not see this happening. No.
Let's properly intro this show. This is the Corner special episode, the goddamn it Conor edition.
Yep.
With myself, Andreas Hale, Kel Dansby. We got Brett Lawson, and we got Heidi Fang with us here.
Whoever else walks over.
Yeah.
Because it's just crazy to talk about. Conor did it with one punch. One punch.
Listen,
One punch.
10 years of dominance ended in just over 10 seconds with one punch by a man who everybody thought was hyped for the longest time. And he basically killed Jose Aldo.
And a year of build-up, trash talk, and disrespect.
Yo, he Pacquiao'd Jose Aldo. Like,
he killed him.
It was like the Pacquiao meme. He was done that quick, that fast. Face first, he hit him so hard that Aldo still hit Conor and cut him.
That's
how hard Conor hit him.
I'm still just sitting here, like, mesmerized, staring at a wall, trying to figure out what the hell happened, because we all know that Jose Aldo is better than what we saw. Of course, Conor obviously established a very dominant finish. There's no arguing that, but Jose Aldo has been one hell of a fighter for the past decade, and just seeing him go out like that in 13 seconds, it blew my mind. I still haven't absorbed it yet. I might wake up and tomorrow just, like, screaming at a wall.
But now you gotta wonder, what does this say about McGregor? Like, in which way can you rank McGregor? Describe McGregor.
I'm on the ranking committee, and it's hard to not put him pound-for-pound fighter in the world when you just smoked the pound-for-pound fighter in the world in 13
seconds. Forget about backing up what you said. Like, you transcend all that. We've seen guys who talk trash and go on to win. He did that at 189. No, this is a completely different animal.
Oh, testing the mics. So we're here in the media room. They're getting ready for the press conference. We don't even care. We had to bring this show that fast to you. And now McGregor, you look at it, he beat Aldo back in March. He beat him back in April. Like, this wasn't the same Jose Aldo. This is back-to-back months. We saw a champion who never gets rattled, who never does anything out of character, do some dumb shit at a weigh-in, and then get knocked out amazingly the next night. Ronda did the same thing.
And I can't remember what fighter had said it, but there was one fighter that had noticed that for the first time with an opponent during all these stare downs, because mind you, there were like 12 stare downs between them, that Jose Aldo started staring at Conor in the eye. And that was something he had never done with his past opponents. And so you knew then, kind of, that he was looking through his soul.
Yeah, he got him with the head games. And Conor knew that. He never looks at his opponents. So even on the 189 buildup, and they took that world tour, Conor's like, look at me in the eyes. Look at me, little man. And Jose locked eyes. And he said, I saw into his soul. I saw that he was scared. Jose never let anyone get that look. It was that amazing article. Who did it? The 12 people who faced Jose Aldo? Or we all
that's
faced Jose?
That's right. Chantel,
and that was amazing. And that's where it was said. One of those
that's
fighters said he never looked us in the eye. And then when he did that to Conor, it's like, oh, it's different. And then Conor stoic yesterday at the weigh-ins.
Well,
and Jose doing all the stupid shit, the karate thing. Just like Ronda, you know, getting in there so Holly could punch her. Yeah, man. We knew it was going left already.
You talked about his demeanor, how it shifted before. He was the aggressor. Aldo played it cool, calm, and collected. You see Aldo now this week get rattled. McGregor's calm, collected. He's just fine. And look what happened.
Fuck.
Like, where did this shift? I mean, and like, what's your main takeaway from this other, like, the power of self-belief? It may sound corny and it may sound cliche. Sometimes we just got to say, you know what, maybe it is true. Maybe it is real. Maybe sometimes we do get a little complacent going with the guy who's been good for so long. And mind you, he has been incredible, although for a number of years.
One second. Heidi just stepped away and got snacks.
I got to get my snacks.
Some barbecue chips.
I couldn't eat right now.
Listen. Snacks can go away. I comfort eat, okay? This has been an interesting night, and I haven't soaked it all in yet, okay?
And we were so big on Aldo, whether you picked against him or picked him, everyone was so quick to talk about Aldo's greatness. Well, that greatness It lasted 13 seconds.
13 seconds.
And this is what we've talked about. I said from the beginning, if McGregor was going to win, he's going to have to stop him. But nobody saw this. There was a moment where Jose smiled at Conor. And you could see that there was a tell. And Conor lunged away from the shot and threw that short left and was all over. When he smiled, I kind of said to myself, oh, shit. Jose's not going to fight the fight he's supposed to fight. He wasn't measured. He came at him trying to be like what he did with Cub Swanson. But McGregor was ready for all of this. Flattened him with one punch, changed the course of the entire UFC. We've never seen somebody talk the shit, bring it into fruition. Like, Dana White's worst nightmare was Ronda Rousey losing a month ago.
And he got the best Christmas gift in the world today.
And by the way, what a UFC 2 cover. We got Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey on the cover of the next game.
Talk about fluctuation. As of the past, what, month and a half.
We're going to find out, too. Is there a curse from the EA cover?
Well, Ronda can get no worse, by the way.
Not right now.
Yeah.
I don't think Conor can get any better. So I mean, we're talking 13 seconds.
So let's discuss this. What's next? Because Aldo asked for an immediate rematch, but I'm saying you can't have a rematch for a fight you don't remember. All right? If you can't remember this shit, you can't have a rematch. Not right now. Frankie Edgar deserves the next fight.
Listen, I give it to Frankie, and Conor came out of this healthy. He has one scratch.
And Frankie came out of that healthy.
To my knowledge, they haven't announced a place for the March card, the pay-per-view. We just know in February it's out here in Vegas again. Give Conor his fight. You know what? You dominate the number one pound-for-pound man in the world. You get whatever the hell you want. Isn't that what Dana said to Frankie last night?
Yeah.
Conor gets whatever the hell he wants. He wants Croke Park. He wants Ireland. You put that UFC 194 there right now. Conor versus Frankie. Go right back in the gym. You guys are both healthy in Ireland. Stadium show. Because all the Irish that were here tonight, all these people will be there. He'll sell out 80,000 people.
Shit, I might be there. I think I just saw tonight.
Listen, I'll rush my passport and be there. I don't even got a passport.
Nothing that
we get on that.
Yeah. Listen, everyone says
so. Join the Celtic Army, Cal.
Listen, this was a fight where nothing that we discussed before this fight mattered.
And analysis did not mean anything.
We didn't see a leg kick. We didn't see a takedown. We didn't see anything but a left hook that put Jose Aldo asleep in 13 seconds.
We didn't even see trash talking that McGregor usually does in, you know, the middle of the bout. We could, or even in mid round, we couldn't get that far.
Breathe.
Yeah, I don't even, like, blink.
The first punch of the fight,
that doesn't happen.
Yo,
it doesn't happen.
Lights out, and it's so crazy to see Aldo and his whole facial expression change. It's like, it's like when you put your hand in front of your face and you go from your forehead down to your mouth. You just stoic, stone face. Because he was smiling, like you said, he stepped in, he got hit with that punch, and it was just like, uh-oh. And you just see him hit the ground. Boom, he knew what was coming.
Fastest finish in the title fight is what?
It was previously Katsangano and Ronda Rousey's fight of 14 seconds, and then there was also the Arlovsky one of 15 seconds. So this one tops all of that. And Ronda also had Alexis Davis. I think that was
16 seconds.
So this is definitely the top.
It tops all of that, and it was billed as one of the biggest fights. Many would call it the biggest fight of all time. Listen, without a doubt in the division.
It's still the biggest fight. Biggest fight in the division.
And it went that quick.
I went 33 fights this weekend for that. We've endured three nights of fighting, 33 fights for 13 seconds.
All worth it.
It's all worth it.
All worth it.
Because it's the power of the moment.
This is the best ending.
Gonzaga and Konstantin Erokin.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
We mentally blocked that out.
But thank you. The main and co-main were worth it. I got both of those picks right. No goddamn Mikel moment. Take that, Andreas. What?
You can have it. You get one. Let's talk about Luke Rockhold's complete domination of Chris Weidman.
We saw it coming.
As impressive a performance that I've seen in recent history.
Hey, I said it. I said when they first called this fight, Luke Rockhold is too fluid for Chris Weidman. Mm-hmm. And he proved that every second of the fight. The body kicks were going to be a problem. The movement, his underrated grappling, everything that Luke Rockhold did proved that he's the best man in the middleweight. He just beat the man who beat the man twice.
And what Rockhold's always been great at is cutting off the angles. He has really quick footwork, which is very, like Andrea said, fluid. And Weidman's always been kind of sluggish. He leaves himself open to punishment. So the fact that Rockhold was able to get in there and take advantage of those weaknesses, and he caught him when he did that silly spin kick.
Yeah, that was
he never went for it. That almost set up the end for him.
And one of the most underrated parts about this fight is in the early part, I guess the first round, when Weidman tried to incorporate his grappling, his wrestling, taking him down. body. Adam gets the cage a couple times. Rockhold would not be broken down. He got right up and eventually just started picking Weidman apart.
Well, did you see Embedded?
Yeah.
I mean, Rockhold's against that damn wall, the padded wall, all day right. in the gym, getting his ass whooped by Kane and DC, and he's used to that.
Yeah, why is nothing?
Yeah, he's used to this
and the accuracy, the explosiveness and the accuracy of his striking. I mean, we all knew how legit it was, but this was just a showcase.
I mean, you look at Rockhold and just what he did round three, like midway through round three,
punishment
was just. Domination, like no one was stopping him from this goal, and Weidman didn't know what the hell hit him.
Like, you need a JR on commentary for that kind of moment.
You know, it's amazing because we're talking about, you know, what Conor McGregor just did, but if this happened in the main event, the Luke Rockhold Chris Weidman fight, we would be going nuts over that.
Yeah,
shit.
We would have lost our shit over that.
It's the power of the moment. That's what this whole event was. Whether the fights were great, whether the fights sucked. It was the power of the moment because of the stage and the circumstances.
You know what's crazy? I think 2 years ago, we're watching Weidman. 2 summers ago, it was Weidman, Machida.
Yep.
And
we
we're
talked
sitting
about
at
how
that table, one table over from here. It's me and Lawson. We're just chilling before the fight. And he's like, oh, Weidman's going to be so dominant, all this stuff.
And you agreed.
And I agreed. And I said, the only person that can beat Chris Weidman, if it's not even, I said the injuries might take him out. But outside of the injuries, the only person that could beat Chris Weidman is someone just as big as him. Because he's a wrestler, he cuts down so much that he's bigger than everyone he faces in a cage. I said, TRT Belfort might have a chance. I saw Belfort before that fight, and he looked like a dried up prune.
Yeah, like
no
old man.
He's getting run over. Rockhold is just as big as him. They're both the same size. Chris can't handle it.
Rockhold
is. Machida almost take him out of there.
Well, Rockhold is Weidman and then some.
Yeah.
And he proved that he has the intangibles that Weidman has. The dude brought it, and credit to Chris for taking the punishment, but it just got to the point. It was just too much.
Stoppage or no stoppage? Like, in the end of
the third. I thought it was a stoppage. I thought, but it should have been stopped if it went another 10 seconds. Herb Dean was very generous to Chris Weidman.
Oh, yeah.
Because any other fight would have been stopped.
No doubt.
Everyone else. He gave Chris, like, okay, your heart is just bigger than your head. I'll let you chill in here.
Well, you have the chance.
It's strange because you'll see Dean go in on, like, the Chad Mendes and Conor McGregor stoppage, the Hernan Barão and Uriah Faber stoppage super quick. And then here, he's like,
out.
Yep, just keep going. Hammer fist. Elbows. Yep.
But, I mean, Weidman was trying to generate any activity he could from the bottom, but it just wasn't doing anything. It should have been stopped. At that point, he was done. He was his prey, and Luke Rockhold picked him off.
We saw two complete versions of domination, and neither were in any way the same way.
No, none whatsoever. And again, what I said just previously is Rockhold, I had him pegged in Strikeforce to be the most dangerous man to challenge Anderson Silva because of everything that he does so well. Even the Belfort loss didn't matter because it was TRT Belfort and it was a kick, right?
Yeah. TRT Belfort.
TRT Belfort is a different Belfort. Clearly, we've seen how different he is. But this version of Luke Rockhold running over Machida like he did. I mean, the guy said Luke Rockhold has destroyed since that loss. Coming to this, I didn't think Weidman had much of a chance. Now, the interesting thing is he gets to fight with Romero, who kind of looked like shit against Jacare after the first
round. Almost got knocked out of the third.
Yep.
Like, shit. Like, Romero, you're going to stand up against this guy?
You got 5 minutes. We're going to call Romero 5 minutes
well,
from now on.
It looks like, you got gas at the end.
Shouldn't get a stool in between rounds. No water.
No water.
This water stuff
and no
is
fences.
Ridiculous.
No fences.
Yeah, they're grabbing that fence.
Yo, grabbing the cage.
I remember I tweeted everyone, the crowd, very observant crowd, but you didn't have to be observant because that was blatant as a
Weidman did the same shit.
Yeah, Weidman did do the same thing.
What was with that? Just grabbing the cage.
That's great. Grab fence.
Part of 194.
He must have been in the back like, oh, hold on. They're not taking points for that tonight? Let's go.
Like, Romero's turned into the unassuming heel after the Tim Kennedy fight and now this. People are looking at because this is a two fights.
A man of God, by the way. A man of God.
But he's oblivious.
A man of
God. I feel like he's oblivious.
He's not just a man of God. He's a soldier of God.
Yeah. I feel like he's oblivious to these controversies, too. I don't think he realizes what he's doing is, like, outrage.
Nah.
But
he has the best defense in the world. He has the Sammy Sosa defense. I know how to speak perfect English. I know what I'm saying. Until you get into trouble. And then, no, I only speak Spanish. He gets super Dominican. That's the best defense in the world. It works. He could just lean on that.
Just talk about a major shakeup for that division in the matter of how
Yo, I don't know. Are they just going to come in here and start ripping down banners? There's championship banners in the media room just coming here to start pulling shit down?
And here's the thing, too. There was already a statement released from the UFC press that Rockhold wants Vitor Roy not Vitor, non-TRT.
Vitor.
Non-TRT Vitor? Yeah,
he wants to fight Belfort. So.
It's like before and after Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll murder that version of Vitor Belfort. And he wants it. He doesn't deserve it.
I pray for him. I pray for Vitor. The only way he gets that is if it is in Brazil, just so you can pack it out and sell some seats. It's going to be over in a Conor McGregor Swift 13 seconds.
That's a dangerous man, Luke Rockhold. Dangerous, dangerous man with an incredible showcasing of his skills.
I should
put
this whole damn thing on Instagram, man. 15 seconds?
Yeah, I know. We could all record it from K-side. It's been like the hell with it. Now, so here's the question. Where does Jose Aldo go from here?
He goes home to cry.
Well, that's the immediate future.
Doesn't his wife got a nice rump? I think his wife is kind of dope looking. He's UPI.
Let's be serious.
I don't know, though. You think?
He's always talking about going to the lightweight division. He's done everything he could in this division. Does he jump to lightweight, or does he stay here and try to get a rematch with Conor McGregor?
I think he tries to get the rematch.
Yeah.
What does he do to get it?
Maybe.
I think it might even come immediately in somewhat of the way that you get it from, look at Holman Rousey. Look at the original, Silva Weidman fight. I think it could come right away only because of all the build-up to this fight. Not that it was anticlimactic in any sort of way, but the dollar signs will be there.
You just go rematch and rematch and rematch at UFC 200? So we're just going to see Rousey...
UFC 200.
Yeah, Rousey tooth. Home. Yeah, Rousey Home 2. Conor Aldo 2. Who else? Oh, shit.
I don't know.
But Kane 3? We'll probably get John Jones DC 2.
Jesus Christ, right.
But as far as
this ending, it's just another thing you could add to this narrative. The build-up to 189, the rib injury, the build-up to this, 13 seconds. Now the question is, should there be an immediate rematch? It's like an ongoing narrative, yet McGregor is the one walking out clean.
Well, I think McGregor could fight again, and Aldo still get his rematch. Aldo only fights 2 times a year, and that's if we're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So his next fight is due for July. Put him on that card. The winner of Frankie and Connor gets the fight.
Frankie can't win that fight then.
If Frankie wins the fight, it's going to be immediate rematch, and we're going to get Frankie Connor too. Yeah.
Would you be feeling Frankie though? Frankie?
Yeah.
I ain't feeling Frankie against Connor.
What are you doing for me?
Not against Connor. Yeah. That's going to be my first thing. Prediction? Watch my prediction article. I'm not going to put round. I'm not going to put KO, submission, unanimous. I'm going to say Conor McGregor, quotations, because Frankie ain't doing it for me. Drop the mic.
That's the only prediction that you can add, because you pick Chad to beat Frankie.
Pick Frankie to lose like his last 3 fights. Yeah, and I'm picking him to lose a 4th.
Yeah.
Mark it down. I don't even got to wait. Today, I waited until the last second to pick Conor. Drop it right now.
Now, obviously, heat of the moment for you guys. Where does this rank among the most shocking moments in UFC history for you? At least, let's say recent history.
Man, I just said the Holly Holm upset was one of the biggest upsets in combat sports history. Because Ronda was somebody that nobody gave 15 seconds to beat. This is kind of high. Because this is the manner that it happened.
He ain't losing 10 years.
I'm saying this is a guy that nobody
seconds.
Yeah, this is a guy that just was mowing down competition. Now, when I first talked to, I think Heidi, you might have been there. We had a round table with Conor maybe about a year and a half ago, before the Poirier fight.
Oh yes.
When we were talking about, I asked Conor about Jose Aldo not having the same killer instinct that he used to have, and Conor went on a rant. He's like, he's not the same guy. He's become complacent. He did everything he could to rattle the cage and make Jose do something he's never done before and kill him. What is Jose doing in the rematch?
He planted 18 months of seeds. Like,
that's
foresight. That's foresight. Yeah. He planted this shit long ago.
I know the podcast is happening right now, but if anything deserves a Jordan crying meme face, it needs to be on the body of Jose Aldo right now.
Yo, I need to see it. It's somewhere. I just want to see Conor hammer fisting the Jordan crying meme.
Oh, I'm sure it's already hit Twitter. They're quick with the memes. But most shocking moments, this is definitely up there. Right with Holly Holm, right with Matt Serra, GSP. Gosh.
I think the first Weidman Silva is up there too because of the cockiness. The fact that was in the height of the Silva dominance.
It was the second one where he breaks his leg. The broken leg.
Well, the thing about the Silva Weidman one was that there were a lot of people that actually picked Weidman to beat Silva.
He was the upstart guy.
Yeah. Right. Nobody really picked Holly Holm to beat Ronda Rousey.
I mean, people were picking Conor.
Nobody picked Sarah to beat GSP. Here, there were people that picked Conor McGregor because you really didn't know what to make out of Conor McGregor.
No one thought we'd see that.
I just said this to you walking out. The biggest Celtic, Irish heritage, diehard Conor Homer couldn't even have seen this coming.
No.
It's the craziest shit ever.
What about the energy? What about this crowd tonight? I'm scared to leave this building.
Yo, I tweeted. I was like, last year I covered the finals, Golden State Warriors, at Oracle Arena. Mm-hmm. This shit was louder than that. So insane. All the stuff you hear about Oracle and how loud it is and how, you know, the Warriors fans are crazy, the Irish tonight were louder than that.
I got
I was in both.
News on this, too. They've actually shut down two bathrooms in the MGM because...
I tried to go to the bathroom.
You can't do that today.
I'm still holding.
Apparently some people... Just go, man. No, some people can't hold their liquor and are letting it out of all the orifices, you know, they're throwing up in the bathroom.
Okay, it's coming out.
And it's shut down.
Out. Well, better that end than other ends.
This was... Yeah, we had the cops in here chilling, enjoying some beverages. Yeah,
you know, at least they're in here. Last time, the Floyd fight, when people just stampeded, they just all ran in here and shit.
No, this is a jolly bunch. These people are happy tonight.
They gave Aldo a standing ovation.
And they booed him, too. It didn't matter.
The booze lasts like 2 seconds.
So I made this comparison. We didn't get to do the podcast. This was very much like Hatton Mayweather weekend in terms of the energy, in terms of the crowd, because I covered Mayweather Hatton, and it was phenomenal, but everybody went home sad. McGregor made up for all that in one night. With one punch, all these people to go home happy. I feel bad for the flight attendants on the planes back to Ireland.
Yo, the Irish aren't going to stop drinking until they board the plane and then drink some more.
Oh, yeah. Livers are done.
They got iron livers. I can't wait to go out tonight. I don't even care where I go.
I'm not going out.
You are going out.
I think everyone may need to lay down after that.
No, Heidi, you got an early night. Everybody got to go. Heidi, you got to go out. You got to go out. You got plans to go out. Andre's always front like he's washed.
Yo, Lazy asked me to go hang out with him and the Diaz brothers tonight at Connor's place.
Who turns that down?
May not make
Hollywood
it out.
Andreas.
Yeah. Hey, it's nap time, man.
He wants to go home so he can catch brunch.
Yeah, that's going to be dangerous.
You want to catch brunch tomorrow and a pedicure.
Yo, this has been a long weekend. Three nights of fights, 34 fights.
And I thought I'd be tired. That 13-second punch knocked out Aldo and woke me up. I feel great.
I don't even know what else to say.
He's out, like, and the new tool.
You know how you play a video game and you're getting your ass whooped and you, like, turn the game off.
Oh, quick.
That's what like Aldo wants to do is like hit that reset button right now. Because now, but now you got to live with this. Because now it's not like you just go back to Brazil and people just say it's okay. No, man, you fucked up.
If this was the UFC video game, Aldo hits the reset button and he doesn't even pick himself for the next fight. Like in character selection, he's like, "Fuck, where's Frankie Edgar?"
Yeah, he backs out of his profile too, real quick, to make sure that shit isn't saved on top of his profile.
Like, yo, this ain't gonna mess up my PS share score.
Looks around the house, out the window, make sure no one even came close to seeing it.
Again, we're waiting for the most epic post-fight press conference that's about to happen. I mean, I thought it was pretty epic when Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva. I was like, "What is Chael gonna say? What the fuck is this motherfucker gonna say?"
Oh.
And
he's
going to be
right
humble.
Now.
He's going to be humble because
he usually is.
We saw that against Chad.
He's graceful in victory, but there's a lot of "I told you so" happening
now. Cut the check. That's what he's cut the check because there's no stopping him now. Like, he's going to get insane money for his next fight.
Around the table. Insane. Does this make Conor McGregor the number one pound for pound fighter in the world? Kel, you first.
Hold on, I gotta ask a question real quick. Does John Jones
still qualify as the number one pound for pound fighter?
John Jones still number one fighter in the world. All
right. Conor's number two then?
Yes. Correct.
John Jones still number one.
I'll say it's John Jones is still the number one pound for pound fighter in the world. In a world where, you know, you say he doesn't exist, even though he still technically does, and you say Conor. But with John Jones in the picture, yes, John Jones.
Can he still be on Bloat?
He could be on whatever. He's, I mean,
if he's still on Bloat, he's number one pound for pound.
Molly now.
He's sweating.
How do you take?
Was so 2015.
How do you take?
Al Jones is still up there for me, yeah. And then McGregor. Yeah.
Number two is not a bad spot.
No. One punch just changes everything.
Because John Jones, buff as hell, you don't know if that slows him down. If DC gets lucky and gets him, then fuck. Then Conor is right up to number one.
I still think, you know, Jones, you look at his whole record, I don't care what the DQ was for. We all know what we're talking about.
12-6.
He's undefeated in my eyes. So you go through all of that, you got to go with Jones, in my opinion.
Yeah, but
Conor's, what, two losses were at 155?
Mm-hmm.
Never lost at 145?
Right.
Yep.
Lost to Duffy and...
The other guy
was 155 as well.
Yeah, the other guy. But
I'd be sad as hell to be that other guy. I'd be like, "You guys know Duffy? You don't know my name and shit?"
I tell you what, this is a thankless task. We put all that effort into trying to give, like, provoking but also thoughtful analysis and all this stuff into it, and just for it to happen like that.
So
why even predict anything anymore at this point?
How many articles have you written about Conor? Shit, we've sat down and interviewed Conor at least 12 times.
Yes. Easily.
Easily. Been around Conor
since like last year at this time.
Mm-hmm. Even before that.
Yeah, wrote like countless articles. And wrote countless articles. It's all worth it. Mm-hmm. I'll take 13 seconds over the 25-minute brawl I predicted that Conor was going to win. Nope, 13 seconds.
First perfectly question fine. I ever asked him was if he felt he was being fed to the wolves in the UFC with the guys he was going up against early on, and he said, no, I'm the wolf. I'm doing the... And I've never forgotten that.
He knew he was looking great from the beginning, because his early fights were crazy. You see what Max Holloway does to people now? He beat him with one leg. He said he should have took off his leg and beat him with it. Like, that's some real shit.
It's
like,
next level. This is next level
stuff.
He was
upset he didn't finish him. I wouldn't be surprised to see him just fight Holloway, just be like, man, he went the distance with me. I'm kind of upset.
Yeah. He's going to knock him out real quick. Seaver, Poirier.
He's just Poirier's a monster again.
Brandao. It's just, what's left? This division, like, this is Conor McGregor's division. Now the question is, does he move up to lightweight in 2016? Does he do a title defense or two? And
that weight cut looked just
brutal.
Yeah.
Skin and bones.
We didn't get to see him. I think he does. It didn't even matter.
He does what he did in the UK, in which he tries to fight both. So you don't cut down to 145, you know, three times a year. You cut down to 145 twice a year. Because if you look, they let Aldo defend that title once a year the past 2 years. So it's no different than having Aldo as your champ. Or if everyone else defends it twice a year. Cool. So then, defend it twice.
I don't think Conor's that kind of. Yeah.
No. Like he wants to fight four times. So you can defend one title twice and the other title twice, and it looks like you have one chance. You don't miss anything. Yeah. It doesn't matter. But I'm not saying he's going to win the title at 155. But if he does, he can fight two fights there and two fights down. And the best thing about going up to 155 as the champion is that you never lose your belt. You can go up there, get whooped by Cerrone, come back down, you're still a damn champion.
You're saying Cerrone like you just already assume he's beating Dos Anjos next week.
I don't believe in Dos Anjos. Whatever the hell he's on, Aldo needs to call his people.
Here's what's interesting to me is he has that titanium jaw. You know, he's had it. So a lot of fighters that have faced him said that they've broken his hand by hitting him on his jaw. So is that like cheating within itself?
It has to. Like something happened, because he turned that switch. Hey. And it's just like, yo, guy's unbeatable.
Ever since
and
they could be.
Yeah, Khabib just fucking made him look like nothing. Mm-hmm. Just like, hey, let me take you down, lay on you a little bit, rub you with my bear fighting belly. And Khabib just made it look easy.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you just, okay, I'm not going to lose anymore. Whoop, let me run through this division real quick.
Too bad he can't get healthy.
Khabib, oh my God, we need to see that guy healthy. So let's have some more hot takes before this press conference starts. One, what was the best fight of the weekend?
Fuck.
Come on, man. Ferguson Barbosa?
Ferguson.
Wow,
that was a hell of a fight. For the time it lasted, they went at it.
13 seconds, man. McGregor got it.
That's a fight. I didn't say
I don't care. 13 seconds. That's the best punch of the week.
Does that qualify, though, for what you
it was
no,
a fight.
No, I don't think so.
It was a fight.
That wasn't a fight.
Was it not a fight? Did the bell ring?
Yeah, the bell ring. That's not
did
a fight.
Bite.
Did the bell ring at the end?
Trading
yeah, I'm talking about two guys.
Two blows were traded. One guy was knocked out when he landed.
It's not a fight if you don't remember it. Alan does not remember what happened.
Saw it.
I'm tossed up between Rockhold Weidman, probably as that's fresh in my head, and Ferguson and Barbosa.
Ferguson Barbosa was amazing. The blood, the craziness.
And people are going to talk so much about the impressive outing by Rockhold and just, you know, the dominant fashion he won towards the end, but that was a chess match for the early part of it. That was a back-and-forth strategic fight that displayed great technique. So that was a great contest until it became just a brutal beatdown.
Saw some good-ass jiu-jitsu tonight, too, though.
Maya Nelson.
Maya put on a clinic.
That was like I said on Twitter. I said that was Neo dancing with Gunner's jiu-jitsu versus Michael Jackson dancing Maya's jiu-jitsu.
Yeah,
it was just completely next level jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, he popped out his chest and he was like, "Yeah, nah, I got this. I'm calling him out."
Wait, wasn't that you that tweeted, Andreas, your black belt is no good here?
No, that was somebody else. But clearly it wasn't, because I thought Gunner asked for this fight.
Yeah,
be careful what you wish for.
We looked at the rankings yesterday. I was like, "Oh shit, 12-6." I was like, "This is one hell of a jump for Gunner."
Well, here's the other thing. This is the same guy who got flatlined by Nate Marquardt several years back and jumped into a right hook. I never expected this Damian Maia to still be here. And being a viable contender for a title, he's viable. He's legit. If he gets his hands on you, he's a problem.
He has a date with Mr. McDonald here in a second.
Well, he called out the ranking system bad, too, at the end. So
UFC 200, more rematches.
Yeah, he wants, I mean, he wants an immediate title shot. It's like, nah, my man, you got to wait. But Rory is going to come back with a brand new face. It's like Face Off when Travolta turned into Nicolas Cage. He's just come back with
his face.
With a whole different face this time. He's going to come back with GSP's face. Like, yo, you ain't using this shit.
He's like, he's Sage Northcutt, right? Like, Roy's been masquerading as Sage Northcutt. Like, let's talk about Sage real quick.
You ever see him in the same spot? No.
Okay, so we saw Sage Northcutt win against Cody Pfister in an interesting fight.
Yeah.
Everything is awesome, Sage Northcutt.
How about that tweet by Okamoto?
Oh, which
that was
phenomenal.
Great. What was the tweet?
Everything's awesome.
Everything's awesome. Oh, except for this day, and the day before, and the day before that.
Because they were all awesome.
Because they were all awesome, yeah.
Listen, so what do we make of Sage Northcutt? Kid's 19, he looks phenomenal. Kid's built like a G.I. Joe character. He can fight, but how far does he go?
He's going to go really far, just not right now. He's one of the kids you look at and be like, yo, when he puts it together, it's going to be insane. I mean, people said the same thing about Robbie Lawler. Back in the day,
he had
the lowest of the lows.
Yeah, Robbie hit.
He had to get kicked out. But at 19, 20, people were talking about Robbie like they're talking about Sage. I mean, and you look at even BJ Penn when you looked at him, you'd be like, "Damn, this kid got it." And then you hit some bumps in the road, but when it clicks, you look back and be like, "Damn, that was a hell of a champion!" Like they finally figured out.
Yeah,
and he's gonna hit rock bottom in a second. Well, maybe not rock bottom. He's gonna lose, bounce back.
He just needs, I think, to establish and prove that he really has a ground game, a true ground game, and a true submission grappling type game. Otherwise, like, I think someone's going to catch up on his number soon. But, yeah, I think definitely it's interesting to have such a positive, upbeat, optimistic, awesome guy in the UFC. So awesome.
Yeah.
And he's so hot right now, right?
Haunts him.
He's
so hot.
So hot right
that
now.
That haunts him.
I mean, even Dana's like, you expect him to say anything negative?
Yeah. Mr. White? Yeah. It was awesome. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
GSP is going to teach that kid a lot, though.
Yeah.
I mean, GSP was the same way. And GSP, by the end of it, after he took a couple losses, GSP was on the ground more than he was standing up. And everyone's talking about kickboxing and shit. Like, yo, I don't see this guy stand up at all. Like, he jabs and hits the dirt. And Sage is going to learn a lot from that. And GSP won a lot of fights like that. You know, say what you want about the lay and pray shit, but it worked. So Sage is going to take a lot from that. He's going to learn how to take a loss because at that camp, those guys take losses. They come back and they win belts.
So we have a rising star in Sage Northcutt. Then we have Paige VanZant, who fell to Rose Namajunas, who I picked. I thought Rose was
Paige.
That was too much. Rose was just way too much too soon for Paige. I like Paige. I love her aggression, but technique, she just got dogged by Rose.
Once again, another young fighter. You got to take that L, come back to the drawing board.
Learn from it.
And get better, but the UFC isn't made for 20-year-olds. It's not made for 19-year-olds.
You don't peak.
It's like we talked about on previous episodes. Like, people are peaking in their 30s.
Yeah.
In their 30s.
Like, Max Holloway had to take those losses. Yeah. That's why Max Holloway is really
dangerous. Look at Verdum. Verdum, it just clicked.
We're in a world now where Verdum and Robbie Lawler are in the peak, the prime of their careers, and it's later.
Yeah.
Randomly. Not even randomly.
How about
all the Strikeforce champions that are now UFC champions? Daniel Cormier, Fabricio Verdum. Luke Rockhold. Who am I missing? Robbie Lawler.
Yep.
Four of them.
There you go.
Scott Coker should be proud, but yeah, he's over there at Bellator having old man tricks.
Mad as hell.
It's old man prostitution.
Gotta watch Kimbo and Dada 5000.
Old man prostitution. But give Scott Coker credit because those the talent he brought in there, they were phenomenal. Even Ronda Rousey, former champion.
Yeah. And, I mean, you look at that and you just go, he was ahead of the time. But once again, his crop at that time was just ripe for the picking because the UFC didn't have the blueprint. They were so young that they were stuck on the talent and trying to promote the talent they had. And all of these guys, you know,
that generation was fading out at that point. The Liddells, the Coutures, the Ortizes.
And they were just focusing on them. And he said, okay, I'm just going to go get all these other guys that killed it in collegiate wrestling.
Yeah.
Or I've seen them in tournaments around the U.S. I've seen them in jiu-jitsu tournaments. Hey, you guys want to come fight? And then the UFC was like, oh, shit, we got more money than you. We're going to watch the same tournaments, and we're just going to outbid you. And then it's like, oh, I'm out of business. Here, sell.
Yeah.
And that was it. I mean, they were just smart enough. They were like, oh, you know, we got money. Big bank, Trump, little bank. They playing spades around here, babe.
Dave Freed just tweeted me, retweeted my tweet from earlier just to say something because I talked about Jose Aldo's leg kicks. He was like, yeah, okay. Yeah. We didn't even see one.
Well, like, we all thought we were going to see that fight, though, so nobody can act like
nobody can act like
fans saw this. Fans, pundits, people in the MMA community, fighters themselves, no one.
I wonder how much someone won if they bet Conor first round KO.
Oh, wow. The odds have to be crazy.
I gotta look up the prop bet after this.
You know, dog, but then I think he was 2-1 by time. It was fight time. The money poured in on him. So yep. I knew he was even yesterday, and then he came up.
Favorite today.
So, yeah.
So you got pretty good odds on Conor.
The one for it to go past three rounds was like plus 250.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah.
That's crazy. You know what? Well, I predicted Rockhold in that fight would sub Weidman in the third. So I was like, fuck, man, I kind of should have bet on this.
Yeah.
Because I was like, he's just going to finish him with ground and pound. But in the third, like, if I would have picked him to get Weidman out in the third, I'm like, man, I would have had some nice. And then no stoppage. I was like, man, I'm glad I didn't bet. Because if it was to the fourth, I would have been mad as hell at Herb D. Like, yo, Herb, you owe me money, my man. Like, you really cost me.
All right.
I got his phone number. I would have given it to
him. So press conference about to start?
Yeah. We can wrap this up. Special episode of The Corner. Connor will be here talking this trash, and we'll be here to enjoy it.
Yes.
I have to take a piss. I'm sorry.
I hope no, he's wearing a white elephant bone suit straight from made from the ivory of elephant tusk.
This next week, we're going to have our award show, not the Color People Awards, the Corner Podcast Awards coming up for you guys.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably also do another show just because the Reverse Rat Pack is in town, minus Andreas, who's leaving town.
I might be sticking around. I don't know.
Oh, well, look at this. So it's Ryan McKinnell, Marcus Vandenberg, myself. Andreas can take his ass out of here because he's always trying to diss me. You guys should have heard how he was trying to roast me all day yesterday. Him and Ivy and everyone else. You know what? I was right today.
Yeah, he doesn't do it. Frankie Edgar doesn't do it.
And Andreas, it all started because he tried to roast me over the Cosby Show. We'll talk about this later.
Yeah, we will.
We got a press conference to go to. Thank you guys for listening to the special episode. We're out. Peace. Like Jose Aldo.
Yes, sir.